Those who know their God shall do great exploits. Those who know their God shall do great exploits. Welcome to Deeply Rooted with me, your host, Sinazo Goss. This is a podcast where we discuss and delve deeper into the intimate conversations we all have with our Heavenly Father. So welcome to it, beloved. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for keeping on supporting us. If you're new here, welcome. And we believe that your life will not be the same again now that you're a member of the family, now that you're part of the family. But if you have been here from day one, we truly, truly appreciate your consistency. We appreciate that you keep on supporting, you know, Deeply Rooted and putting it out there for people to know that this is a podcast, it exists, and it's literally transforming people's lives. So thank you once again. So as I said in the intro, today we'll be talking about a scripture that's known by many, and I'll basically break it down as to what I mean in reference to the scripture. So it's in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verse 32, and it reads as follows. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. I'll read it one more time. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So basically, I want to focus especially on the second part of the scripture, which says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Other versions say, and do great exploits, right? So when I was searching up the word exploits, what it means and synonyms and basically the meaning of the word, exploits basically refer to great things, great achievements, great accomplishments, great victories. So meaning people who know their God will not only be strong and strengthened, but they will also do great exploits or carry out great exploits, right? So that's basically the focus of the scripture today. But before I get into it and break it down in terms of its context and what was happening during this time in the book of Daniel, I just wanted to pray quickly before I break it down and go into today's topic. Let's pray. Dear God, I come before you this day. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us your word, to be able to get direction from it, to be able to get encouragement and be strengthened through it, your word, O God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for your word, that it is a lamp on our feet and a light to our path, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that you've given us your word to heal us, O God. You've given us your word, O God, that we may not be without salvation, we may not be without direction, but you've given your word, O God, to give us direction and to hold our hand, and that we may receive salvation through it, O God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for the opportunity, O God, to explain your word, to dissect your word to your people, in Jesus' mighty name, Lord. We pray, Lord, that as we will be dissecting your word today, that you be in our midst, as you say in your word, O God, that when two or more are gathered in your name, you are in their midst, O God. Be in our midst, O God. Give us understanding, O God. Open up our spiritual senses, O God, in Jesus' name. And may you be upon me, and your glory, Lord, may it rest upon me as your vessel, as I preach your word, as I speak your word, O God. May I decrease as you increase, O Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Amen, guys. So back to our topic, Daniel 11, chapter 11, verse 32, right? Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. So basically, guys, what was happening here, the context, just to give a bit of background. So the first part of the script, of the scripture that says those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. So who are we speaking about here, right? We are speaking about a king that was present in Israel long ago during the days of the prophet Daniel, right? So this king was Antiochus the Fourth Epiphanes, right? So Antiochus was basically an ungodly king who ruled over Israel and tried to, you know, lure the people of Israel by flirtery, by bribing them to actually turn their back on God and actually live a life that doesn't honor God, right? So basically what he was doing was he was managing actually to convince certain people to turn their back on God, right? But there was a remnant, guys. And when I speak of remnant, I mean people that remained faithful to God, even despite others being convinced to turn their backs on God, right? So there were people who remained faithful to God, who remained, you know, living in accordance to the commandments of God, while others were successfully, you know, deceived by this king and flattered by this king to turn their backs on him, right? Because the second part of the scripture shows that there were two different kinds of people during this time. So the first people, the first kind of people are the people that I just described, you know, the people who were successfully convinced to turn their back, you know, on God. But then the second part of the scripture says, but the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, right? So there's two kind of people, the people who are easily swayed by, you know, this evil king, this ungodly king Antiochus, right? And then there's the second group of people, which are people who know their God. And this verse says, the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits, right? Meaning people who know their God, who know who their God is, who stand firm in the knowledge of who their God is, who stand following their God, despite of what everyone else is being convinced to do, those people will be strong. They will be strengthened by God. And not only will they be strong, but they will carry out great exploits, meaning they will be able to accomplish great things. They will be able to achieve great things. These people will walk in victory. You know, they will do great exploits because they know their God, you know. So over and above everything, this scripture, even outside of that context, right? But this scripture is showing us what's key in every season, no matter what's happening in your life, no matter what context is going on in your environment. The key is knowing your God, knowing who He is, right? Having that knowledge at the back of your head, in fact, at the forefront of your head, that know his magnitude. I think let me start there. Know His magnitude. You know, there are many names that are given to God in the Word, you know, that explain who He is, that explain His characteristics. For example, He's described as El Roy, right? God who sees you. God who sees you in dark places. God who sees you when you feel unseen, when you feel all alone. He's God who sees you in that dark situation, in that painful situation. There's also His name called Jireh, you know, God who's a provider, God who provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness out of nowhere. You know, He does the same even in our lives when, you know, you're in lack and you don't know where your next meal is going to come from, or you don't know where your next job is going to come from. But He shows up as Jireh, right? As God who provides. He's also Rapha, God who heals. You know, there's a verse in the book of Psalm 147 which says God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds, right? He's El Shaddai, meaning He's the all-sufficient God. He's the almighty God. You know, nothing can take away from His lordship and from His magnitude because He is all-sufficient and almighty. So many names of God describe who He is according to scripture. So the key is knowing who your God is, knowing what scripture describes your God to be, right? And also knowing what He can do, right? So these names describe His characteristics, who He is, but also there are parts in scripture that describe what God can do, you know. For example, the Bible speaks of the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and it lives inside of us. So we know that our God is a God who's able to bring life to dead things, even to our bodies. You know, that's what the Bible says, that there is coming a time where even those who have fallen asleep in God will be risen by the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, the same God who was able to open up the Red Sea, you know, do things that are literally, you know, seen as impossible in the eyes of man. You know, knowing His character as well, you know, knowing that He's a God whose mercies are new every morning. He's a merciful God. He's a God who's full of grace, you know, who shows us His mercies each and every morning. You know, knowing that we cannot exhaust His mercies. You know, if He was able to be merciful yesterday, He's able to be merciful even today. You know, there's even a scripture in the book of Psalm which says that, you know, His mercies endureth forever. His mercies are new every morning. They endure forever. Knowing that His love is steadfast. There's many parts in scripture that say, that explain to us the love of God and how it's steadfast and how it's unchanging, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in all creation, guys, you know. And that's actually one of my most favorite scriptures in the book of Romans. It's Romans chapter 8. It's from verse 38. I just want to explain it quickly. You know, it's a very powerful verse. Let me just read it quickly. So it says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come shall be able to separate us." In fact, before it gets to the end, guys, I just read it. I just read a summary because that was a summary. It wasn't the full verse. I just want to read the full verse. So I'll start from the top. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Meaning nothing, guys. Because if you break this down, it says there's nothing, neither life nor death. Whether you're dead in your sins, whether you feel dead in your situation, or no matter how far gone you may feel, no matter how dead the situation you feel like, the situation you're in feels like, you know, whether angels, no demons, not even angels in heaven, not even demons can convince God to love you less and to not want to save you and to not want to be a present father to you, you know. Neither the present nor the future, even the present situation you're in, even the future situation you'll find yourself in, no matter how sinful you may find yourself in the future, you know, that won't even separate you from the love of God. Neither height nor depth, no matter how high your sins are, no matter how deep you are in a situation, that can not separate you from the love of God. And then it says, "Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So that's another beautiful aspect and important characteristic to note about God, that he's a God of endless love, steadfast love that is not moving, that is not shaken. Because guys, it's easy for us to think that God stops loving us in certain seasons because that's how certain people are in our lives. But we need to know that God is God because he's different than humans. You know, the Bible says he doesn't change. You know, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, so if he's unlike any human, if he's unlike any other person we encounter here on earth that changes, that gets tired of us, we should know that God is God because he's different. You know, his mercies never run out. They're new every morning. His love is steadfast and it's unshaken, you know. So it's very important for us to know all of this, guys, to know our God. When you know God, you know his characteristics, you know his love, you know his mercy, you know his healing power, you know that he's a God who provides, he's a God who opens the Red Sea, who performs miracles, he's El Roy, he's God who sees you in dark situations. When you know all of that, guys, you do great exploits. And I'll break this down, you know, as to how you do great exploits, you know. So firstly, guys, knowing God means knowing him from his word. Because, for example, everything that I just explained right now is because I know the word of God, right? When you don't know the word of God, then you don't know God. It's hard for you to know who God is. It's hard for you to know his magnitude, his character, and everything that he's able to do because you don't know his word. You know, when you're in a relationship with someone, you get to know them, you talk to them, you ask about them, you inquire, you seek because you want to know this person, right? Same applies with God. You know, when you get into relationship with God, when you get close to God, you know him and you know him deeply, you know his word. You know, when you get into relationship with God, you need to be someone who seeks God relentlessly, consistently. You know, you need to be someone who spends time in the word, you know, intentional time, everyday time in the word of God, you know, because you want to know God. You know, you need to be someone who spends time in prayer, you know, someone who prays consistently, someone who prays endlessly. You know, you need to be someone who fasts often. You need to be someone who fellowships with other believers and goes to church, because that's where you get spiritual growth. That's where, you know, you get revelation from different people and different speakers and preachers, you know. So in that way, doing all of that consistently will then make you know God, not only in paper, but you'll also experience him. Because there's a part in the Bible that says that, I think it's in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 13, right? It says, "When you will find me, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Those words are from the mouth of God himself, right? Through the prophet Jeremiah. So he's able, guys, to reveal himself to you, not only in understanding as if you're studying, you know, a textbook and then the knowledge get transferred into your head, but you actually see him in everyday life in situations where you feel anxious. And then he's a God of peace. He's Jehovah Shalom, you know. you see yourself in a very hectic and painful situation, and then he becomes Jehovah Rapha and he heals you completely from all the wounds that you've experienced. You know, so when you seek God, you know, when you know your God through studying the word, through praying, through getting close to him, then he makes himself known to you. And then you can declare to say, I know God. I can speak boldly about God, you know, and literally he's a God who does that. You know, he shows you things that you didn't know, experiences that you've never experienced. You know, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says, call out to me and I will show you great and mighty things that you didn't know, hidden mysteries that you didn't know, you know, new experiences that you've never experienced and you never thought, you know, you would experience. So it's very important to know him. It's very important to draw close to him. And he's made, like, there's a promise in the word as well. In the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8, it says, when you draw close to him, he also draws close to you. So it's very important, guys, to draw close to God, to seek God, to call out to God, and to study the word, guys. More than anything, over and above everything, study the word, because God's character is known through his word. It's known through prayer, consistent prayer, you know, fasting as well. You know, that's where you actually get to experience God so intimately, because the flesh is brought under subjection and your spirit man is actually awakened. You know, even fellowshipping with other believers, because you get exposed to other, you know, revelations that you may not have received in your spirit, you know. So it's very important, guys, to seek God. And that's how you know God, even in experience, not just in theory, but also practically and in reality in your life. You know, for example, guys, when you know God, there's so many benefits, and you attack the enemy and you rise in victory. You walk victoriously and you do great exploits. For example, guys, an easy example was Jesus when he was tempted, right? Because there's a part in scripture where before Jesus actually carried out his ministry of preaching and performing miracles, he first went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, right? So this is a very well-known part in scripture. And Jesus is basically in the wilderness praying and fasting. And then the enemy tempts Jesus, right? He says a whole bunch of things. But then every time Jesus responds to the enemy, Jesus literally responds with the word. You know, for example, I'll just read it quickly. The book of Matthew chapter 4, I'll start on verse 3. It says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And then Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then verse 5 says, then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. You know, so guys, basically, I'm assuming that you're getting the picture of what Jesus was showing us here, and how he was actually attacking the enemy back, and how he managed to withstand, you know, the attacks coming from the enemy, right? He used the word, because the enemy also knows the word, guys. He can twist scripture to say that, you know what, the word says this and it says this, but it's lies, because anything that comes from the mouth of the enemy is lies. It's there to manipulate, it's there to cause us fear, it's there to cause us doubt and all of those things, right? But when you know your God through your word, through the word, through studying of the word, through prayer and God revealing himself to you, the enemy cannot win over you. Even when he tells you stuff like you're nothing, your situation won't change, you're useless, you're this, you're that. If you know the word, for example, you know parts in scripture, like for example, the scripture in the book of Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms, where the writer says, He knit me together in my mother's womb. He created my inmost being. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, and also the book of First Peter, which says that I'm a royal priesthood, God's chosen person, God's chosen nation, his most prized possession. You know, you're able to speak back at the enemy, and you're able to stand firm, you know, when the enemy attacks you, because sometimes the enemy attacks our minds. He attacks us to be discouraged, you know. But when you know the true word of God, God helps you, you know, to stand strong and to stand firm, you know, to know that, okay, you know what? this is actually what the Word of God says about me. This is what the Word of God says about God himself. He's a God who creates new beginnings. He says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. You know, he's a God who heals and who heals completely. He's a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine, you know. So you can never know all of that if you don't know the Word of God. You know, Jesus would have never been able to defeat the enemy if he didn't know the Word of God, you know. So that was a lesson for us to say that at times we're going to be attacked, things are going to happen in our lives, but when we know our God, when we know him, when we know the Word of God and how the Word of God explains God to be and explains his promises, then we are undefeated. You know, for example, guys, another example I can give is the famous story of David and how he defeated Goliath with just a sling and a stone, right? Basically, guys, I always say to people that David's defeat of Goliath was not because of the stone and the sling, but it's because he knew his God. You know, let's just go to the scripture, guys. Just one scripture. I won't read the whole passage because I believe we know, a lot of us know, you know, the context of the scripture, right? So it's the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 45, right? So it says, then Jesus said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied, right? So David is not saying, I come to you with a sling and a stone, although we know that he did come to him holding a sling and a stone. But in reality, what he came to Goliath with, what he came to fight and defeat Goliath with, was the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom he had defied, whom Goliath had defied. And we know how the story ends, guys. You know, David literally just throws, you know, a stone with a sling and literally defeats the giant Goliath. Imagine, guys, a big giant, you know, that everyone was afraid of, literally gets killed with a sling and a stone. That is so embarrassing, guys, to say the least, but that's what it means to know your God and to carry out great exploits. Because that was a great exploit that David did, because people were afraid of Goliath. But David, because he knew his God, he came to Goliath in the name of the Lord, not in the name of anything, not in the name of the sling and the stone he had, but in the name of the Lord, you know. So that's another example that shows us, guys, you know, the importance of knowing your God. Because also, when you're attacked with whatever thing that happens, whether it's your mental health going under, you will know that your God is a God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And he's done it before and he will do it again. Even if you're someone who's tormented by demons, you know, you're in bondage and you feel like the enemy's whispering lies into your ears and you're not at peace. Remember what Jesus did to Mary Magdalene. You know, Mary was tormented by 7 demons, but Jesus literally restored her completely, guys, from a state of being utterly, you know, in pain and in bondage and tormented. But Jesus was able to deliver her. He is that kind of God who delivers, you know. Even in impossible situations where you feel like, you know, you've been asking God to transform things in your life, to open doors in your life, when you know what the Word of God says about God, that he's a God who breaks gates of bronze. He's a God who breaks iron bars, you know. He's a God who restores to you the years that were stolen by the locust, you know. He's a God who restores time, you know. So it's very important to know your God. It's very important to know the Word. And in that way, when you know in those kind of situations, and your faith gets restored, then you are able to walk and stand firm, even if you're feeling, you know, pressured, even if you're feeling unwell. But God makes himself manifest in your life, you know. He makes his nature manifest in your life. He makes his healing power manifest in your life. He makes his, you know, overcoming power, you know, and defeating power manifest in your life. And then you see yourself walking, you know, not understanding how, you know, in the midst of hardships, in the midst of painful situations, but you see yourself rising above all of that, you know, because God is a God who literally shows up. You know, he's a God who literally shows up, and he's a God who manifests himself when you know him, when you follow him, when you seek him, when you prioritize a relationship with him. Then it will show that those who know their God, you know, will do great exploits. They will be strong and they will do great exploits. You know, even when it comes to desires that you're praying for, you know, where people feel like it's impossible to get to certain, you know, to get to certain parts in life or to get to certain places in life, or whatever dreams you may have, you know, you will know at the forefront of your head that the Word of God says, you know, I'm God who's able to do. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. So God is limitless, you know, knowing him first from who he is, his magnitude, knowing secondly his character and his love for you, knowing his promises as well. And you'll never ever know his promises if you don't know his word, you know. So more than anything, it's extremely important to know his word, to spend time, intentional time in the word of God, you know, studying the word of God, inviting the Holy Spirit when you study the word of God. Because when you invite the Holy Spirit, you're not just reading a book, you know, but it literally becomes alive. It comes alive in your life. It comes alive in your mind and in your heart. You know, the Holy Spirit gives you understanding that you wouldn't otherwise have if you were just reading by yourself, you know, reading line by line. But now you read with revelation. You know, you read with a strength down deep on the inside of you, strength from the Holy Spirit to understand and wisdom to understand. You know, the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 17 says, the word of God is the sword of the spirit, meaning when the enemy attacks you, when you have the word of God, you're unshakable, just like Jesus. You know, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, he responded with the word because he knew the word. So the word of God is literally a weapon in warfare that helps us to withstand when the enemy throws his attacks on us, when we know the word, when we know what the word of God says about our God and how the word explains who our God is. We are literally unshakable in every season, whether there are storms, whether there's hardships. But when you know your God, you carry out great exploits. You carry out great victories. People ask themselves, how did Snazo go through past that situation and past that painful season? You know, but because you know the answer, that you know your God, you know, and your God has made himself known to you, you know. So it's very important, guys, to know your God. It's very important, guys, to also, when you've experienced God and when God has made himself known to you and when he's revealed himself to you and you have a testimony, don't be afraid to share that testimony, because part of your victory comes from sharing your testimony. You know, there's a scripture, a very powerful scripture in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 11, which says that they defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, right? So when you've seen God and you've sought God and God makes himself known to you and his word manifests into reality in your life, you need to tell people about that. You need to tell people because it encourages people, you know, and it also defeats the enemy. It shows that the kingdom of darkness has no final say. The kingdom of darkness is not as strong as our mighty God, as our El Shaddai, as our all-sufficient God, you know. So it's very important for you to hold tight to your testimony. Know where God has shown himself in your life. Don't forget, you know, the goodness of God. There's a part, one of my favorite psalms says, you know, praise the Lord. I love it. I love it in my home language in isiXhosa. It says, "Mbonge uJehova mphefumlo wam, mbonge uJehova mphefumlo wam, ungayilibali impatho yakhe enhle." Meaning, praise the Lord, or bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, or forget not his goodness and his good deeds that you've seen in the past, you know. So that's basically knowing your God. You know, when you are able to remind yourself of how he showed himself in the past, then you're literally able to carry out great exploits. You know, you're able to walk in victory. You're able to defeat the enemy when he comes against you. You're able to accomplish your goals. You're able to achieve everything you've desired because you walk in faith, not in faith in who you are and what you can do, but what God can do through you, because it's God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that is at work in us, you know. So whenever you have certain dreams, you have certain aspirations, and you really want to reach them, but you don't know where to start, the starting point is knowing God. Because when you know God and you know who he is, you walk in that faith, and that faith comes alive in your life. It's not just abstract. It's not just a concept, but it becomes a reality in your life, and you actually see and can testify that, guys, I've seen God in my life. I'm where I am because of him. I've achieved and accomplished what I can accomplish, what I've accomplished because of him, not because of my own strength, because you know your God, you know. So I can never ever stress how important it is, guys, even when it comes to fears in your life, you know, when you're afraid of certain things or there are certain things weighing you down, remembering parts of scripture like, you know, the book of Psalm 91, where God promises protection and says, anyone who makes God their dwelling and their fortress and their hiding place, God will hide that person from whatever dangers that go around in the day and in the night, you know, and a thousand may fall on your side, 10,000 on your right side, and nothing will come near you, you know. So knowing those parts in scripture and standing on them in faith, you know, God is able to literally make himself known and visible in your life. So that's absolutely important, guys. Knowing God makes you accomplish great things. Knowing God makes you great and walk in victory. Just knowing God, being intentional in your relationship with Him, in studying the Word, in praying, in fellowshipping, in fasting, makes you know your God. And drawing closer to Him makes Him draw closer to you and make Himself manifest in your life as well. So over and above everything, guys, in this episode this week, I'd like to encourage everyone to please know your God. Know your God. Be intentional. That's how you will do great exploits this year. That's how you will walk into rooms that you've never imagined, because you know who your God is. You know what He's capable of doing. You know His promises in your Word. You know you'll overcome self-esteem issues. You'll overcome pains of the past, childhood traumas, because you know your God heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You'll be protected. You know whether you are attacked in whatever way, but you know what God has said in Psalm 91, that you know He calls His angels to take charge over you. You know, so that's extremely important. Stand in faith. If you already know your God, continue to seek Him so that you know Him deeper. There's no knowing God completely and fully, but there's always something new to be revealed to you, you know, from the heart of God. So draw closer and closer to God, and He'll help you. He'll help you in every area of your life. He'll show you that you are indeed able to do great exploits according to the work and the power that is at work inside you, because the Word of God says the Holy Spirit is given to us when we receive salvation and give our lives to Christ. He's given to us as a seal, you know, that shows that we belong to Him and we are His. So that's what I have for you this week. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. And I'm praying for you guys. I'm praying because sometimes it's not easy, guys, to seek God, you know, especially if you don't see anything happening and moving in your life. But I'm praying that God helps us to have faith, because sometimes faith is not something, faith is not something that you strive towards, but it's something, it's a gift from God, you know, that He gives you even in the hardest of times in your life, you know. So I pray that all of you guys are granted faith in whatever situation, in whatever season, that He gives you faith and that you don't give up on knowing and on standing in His Word and trusting that things won't remain the way they are, you know. So giving you also the willpower. The Bible says he works in us to will and to do according to His purpose, you know. So praying that He gives you His willpower, that you stay in faith, that you become the remnant of God, no matter what other direction people are being moved and pulled towards, which is not God, but you remain a remnant that stays strong in God, knowing your God, and then you will do great exploits. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Please continue, guys, to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts from, Apple Podcasts, you know, Spotify, and please do keep on listening to us on Iono as well. And don't forget to also listen to other Sowetan podcasts, Times Live, Under Times Live. There's so many podcasts like Taking Rams by the Horns, The SL Cabinet. Be sure to check those out as well. Until next time, you're loved, you're treasured, and you're precious in the Heavenly Father's sight. In Jesus' name, God bless and amen. Until next time, be blessed. Amen.